Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The long-awaited anti-party hopping bill is expected to be tabled during the upcoming Dewan Rakyat sitting, which begins this Monday on February 28th. An anti-defection law was one of the key institutional reforms promised in the MOU signed last year by Ismail Sabri Yaakob's government with Pakatan Harapan. And PH has warned that the MOU would be declared void if the anti-hopping bill was not tabled at the next parliamentary sitting. But there seems to be no consensus on how to define anti-hopping. To get to the heart of the matter, we have political scientist Dr. Wong Chin Huat joining us now. Chin Huat, what do you understand to be some of the more contentious elements that the law minister has had to deal with in trying to define the term anti-hopping for this bill?
Thanks for having me, Melissa and Sharaz. When we have a traditional anti-hopping law, the definitions of party hopping normally would cover three matters. One, that MPs who voluntarily leave their party, and second, those who are sacked from their party involuntarily, and third, independents who join the party. The third one is more optional. Some countries don't cover that. Now, in Malaysian case, people would expect an anti-hopping law to also cover collation hopping, but this is not effectively provided by a traditional anti-hopping law because it would then be too rigid. You would treat collations as a party and component parties as factions within the party. So what we have is this 3-point. What it means in our reality, if you go back to Sheraton Move, is that those who jump from PKR or who left PKR would be punished, having their seats vacated. So do Mahathir and five other Bersatu MPs who were sacked by their party, but not Bersatu who left PH. And also, three independents MP who joined PKR immediately after the 2018 election would also face by-elections.
Chinwad, it seems to me that a lot of Malaysians have a very, you know, kind of ordinary person's view of this, right? They think, well, this is the party I voted in or the person I voted in, and the government was formed, and then suddenly things change, right? So there's an unhappiness that drives that whole discourse of betrayal and the need to kind of somehow curb self-interested politicians from, you know, shifting things around in their own interests, not in the interests of the people. But you look at systems around the world. Is there a problem with our Westminster-style first-past-the-post system that actually, in some ways, allows for it because it assumes a certain culture? Is it somehow baked into our system that there will be hopping because we vote in an individual, not a party, and therefore we have to kind of go with that individual, whatever choices they make?
Indeed, if you look back at what Winston Churchill had to say, he said one person, MP, should follow his conscience, then his constituency interests, and then the party order. So, because when you give the vote to the MP, you're voting in individuals. And so really come back to another question to that is that while in Malaysia, we fear that the MP would betray us, but to what extent you can actually trust party leaders? Under a traditional anti-hopping law, you must have anyone sacked by the party to be also sacked from the house. Otherwise, anyone who want to leave the party would just stay back and sabotage until they get sacked and they get away. But this also means then the party leaders would have the power to dismiss anyone who might be a rival to his or her own career. And that's the issue that we really want to go back to. I am against traditional anti-hopping law because it's too rigid, that it would actually freeze the party system so much so that we cannot have party split when necessary. For example, you have an anti-hopping law in 2015, we wouldn't have Amana, we wouldn't have Bersatu later. So that's a key issue we need to consider. That doesn't mean that we cannot have an anti-parting, but we cannot have any institute and any mechanism to stop party hopping. We can have anti-hopping recall law to give the power to the voters to decide. And at this stage, I can accept a traditional anti-hopping law, but I wouldn't want this to be imposed on all the states, because some states may want to have the more sophisticated and flexible version. That's the anti-hopping recall law.
Well, you know, to get even the anti-party hopping bill passed, it will require two-thirds of Dewan Rakyat to agree to it. I'm just wondering, do you think that this might have support from MPs, particularly in the version that you're talking about, where it's kind of a more traditional anti-hopping law, as opposed to one that you think is a better option?
I think it's certainly possible to get a two-third for the traditional anti-hopping law, because PH need that to encourage voters to come out to vote. And they have 90 votes. And Barisan Nasional, being the biggest victim of party hopping this round, would also want that, and they have 42 votes. And the law minister who pushes for this is from GPS, having 18 votes. So we are talking about a situation that they have already 150 votes between them. So it's certainly possible to have an anti-hopping recall law that would take longer time, that may not be possible for this parliamentary setting. But state assembly can deliberate on that for longer time.
Chinua, do you think, is there a message for the voter in this story of legislative change? What should they be mindful of when we think about anti-hopping? Because we know that hoppers, despite the accusations of betrayal, often get voted back in. They stand and they get voted in many states of the federation. There's no social sanction against it.
Yes, but that come back to the whole questions. If voters actually support the hoppers, what's wrong with that? And what's really problematic is that if voters support them because they were looking at MP as ATM machines, these are the people who are going to give money to my constituency. If they jump to a richer party, a government party, and therefore they bring more money, I have a better ATM machine. So why not? That's the problem we really need to solve. It's about patronage.
All right, Chinwat, thank you so much for joining us today. Political scientist Dr. Wong Chinwat. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more, so stay tuned. Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. The anti-party hopping bill is expected to be tabled during the upcoming Dewan Rakyat sitting, which begins on Monday. A bipartisan technical committee was set up to look into the matter. One of its members joins us now. Hanipa Maidin is Amana MP for Sepang, also former deputy minister in the Prime Minister's Department in charge of legal affairs. Hanipa, can you help us understand what exactly needs to be worked out, you know, when you have these types of technical committees and you invite MPs or, you know, the Attorney General's chambers to come and discuss to deal with the anti-hopping bill? What are some of the issues that, say, a committee would look to resolve?
Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank Astro for having me. Actually, first of all, I'd like to express my thankfulness to the government for having a courage to set up a bipartisan committee to look into this matter. I think this bill is urgently needed. because in Malaysia we have too many political frogs. But the problem is, you know, in Malaysia, I think it's not, sometimes we tend to set to solve all the problems by way of legislation. But in my understanding, actually the law is not the best panacea to solve all the problems. Sometimes we need more than laws. We need integrity. We need a moral from the MPs who have been voted by the voters, present the constituency, but yet they fail to understand the very basic of integrity.
So, Hanifah, right, if I could just jump in there and ask you, and I get your point about, you know, in fact, the larger question of culture that, you know, Wong Chin Huat earlier mentioned, that people view or imagine their relationship to party politics in ways that, in fact, encourage party hopping, right, or reward it. For you, where does the law stand now? And what has been the consensus? Maybe not the best solution, but it is a solution that's going to be brought before the House and voted on. Could you tell us what is there in the law now?
I remember when we discussed the issues, we have problems to come up with a good definition of hopping. For instance, what happened if intra-party hopping? For instance, within Pakatan Harapan, for instance, a member from PKR joined Amanah. Is the seat going to be vacated or not? That's another issue that the issue that we discussed. I remember Yang Berhormat Ram Kapal sort of compromise in order at least we start the ball rolling first. We know that it's very difficult for us to come to consensus. So we agree that in order to have a consistency, we must have a law which streamline in the sense that any MPs who cross to another party, regardless whether intra-party or what do you call it, is more than intra-party. I mean, intra-party in the sense that we do coalition or what is the how to come with the terms? Okay, intra-party or maybe from one coalition to another coalition, it also covered under anti-hopping law. So that's the definition that we have agreed in the first meeting. And then the second issue that I think we have difficulty to come into consensus is about the penalty. You know, in Malaysia, we have a case, Nordin Saleh, which held that anti-hopping law is against the constitution. It's against the freedom of association enshrined in Article 10.1c of the Federal Constitution. So I remembered, I mooted the idea, in order for us to come with a good law, we must understand that any law which we want to pass, we must understand it must not infringe the freedom to association duly embedded in the Constitution.
Okay. Well, just now when we spoke to Wong Chin Huat, he seemed to think that this bill might get overwhelming bipartisan support because, you know, I think almost all parties have been affected by defections one way or another. But in your opinion, do you think that who might be against an anti-hopping bill?
I think those who really have interest. Those who have vested interest, maybe they actually anti-hopping law is good. It's in order to protect the sanctity of the votes. To avoid betrayal. But unfortunately, in Malaysia, as I pointed out just now, law in itself cannot solve the problem. We must have a good culture in politics. So I believe as far as we are concerned, in the committee, we only well on the issues of law. In other words, what is going to do if any MPs cross over to other political parties? We name it as anti-defection law. But I believe when we have a law without any moral element therein, it's very difficult for us to solve once and for all the political fraud culture. So in my, I just want to set an example. In India, they amend the constitution by having 10 schedule, and then they give the power to announce the vacation of the seats to the speaker. But what happened when any political party informed the speaker that this seat has been vacated? The speaker refused to make a formal announcement to vacate the seat. For instance, in one case, I remember there was one MP who was supposed to be vacated the seat, but the speaker waited until the dissolution of the parliament in order to announce the decision. So sometimes the court has to intervene in the sense that the court has to question the power given to the speaker.
Looking forward to seeing what this bill is going to entail and what the debate is going to be like in Parliament. Anipa Maidin, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I'm an MP for Sepang there, and we're going to take a quick break. After this, we'll speak to Pengerang MP Datuk Sri Azlina Uthman Said. Stay tuned to consider this. Thanks so much for staying with Shrad and I on Consider This. Let's speak now to Datuk Sri Azlina Uthman Said, MP for Pengerang and former Deputy Speaker of Dewan Rakyat, who in last November submitted a private member's bill in a bid to address the issue of party hopping. Datuk Sri, what do you understand to be, say, some of the differences between what you wanted in your private member's bill versus what has been discussed to be included in the upcoming anti-party hopping bill?
I think the most obvious is, of course, the recall procedure. You know, because I think I wanted the recall as a remedy. I think what's obvious right now, the anti-hopping law that the government is proposing, is the fact that if you hop as an individual MP, your seat gets vacated. And then you can run again if you can convince, as compared to when you have a coalition movement whereby the whole party moves. But I'm not going to address that. I'm just looking at the recall as a remedy. I always believe from the perspective that the relationship between the voters and the MPs are basically a contractual relationship. I always say that when the MPs or the elected representative offer themselves an expectation of the voters to the services that will be given, whether the voters decide to vote for the person as a person's personality or because a person is representing a political party, it depends very much on the expectation of the voters. I always, being very cynical, to say that sometimes members of parliament or elected representative are really like a designated welfare officer, you know, in the sense of we're expected to do a lot for the voters, for the representation, for the public. But what happens right now is that the relationship between the voters and the elected representative, the margin moves because of the minority government running the country. What happens after the PRE14. So what happens is that if you look into the equation of the role of the elected representative as a member of parliament in the Dewan Rakyat, if you look at the constitutional expectation on performance and on the immunity of the MPs, so the MP comes in as an individual MP, not really as a political party members. The representation is that one person is one vote of the seat represented of the MP or the elected representative, even at the state assembly. And then you have a minority situation that you want to form a government. So you have a formation of MPs, whether it's by bloc or individuals. Then you format yourself into a government. And I think what transpired after PRE 14 was the existence of a coalition government inside the coalition, a coalition within the coalition. So the movement tends to be a bit fluid because we don't have a fixed term, but a fixed term system like in the UK, that you can have a coalition government, but you're fixed term. You don't drop the whole term of the next election coming in. So you don't necessarily can just easily pull the plug as in when you want. So the system is a bit more controlled. In our situation is that one of the biggest challenges is that if there's no anti-hopping law, anyone can jump at any time. That's quite difficult, you know. I mean, that's basically how I'm looking at it from that.
Right. I want to ask you if the framers of the law, because I know you're like welfare officers, but actually you're like lawmakers, aren't you? And that's really your job. In making the law, the consequence for government formation and government stability, isn't that the core of the consideration here? If it's a single MP crossing over and losing his seat, that may be unimportant. But if you have more than that, it could potentially destabilize entire governments. Was that part of the discussion? And how does this law take into consideration the possibility that governments will be destabilized by the law that's supposed to stabilize our politics?
The whole purpose of the anti-hopping law is to stop them from jumping. But now the government has agreed, even though you jump, you're allowed to offer yourself again. That is almost the same thing like a remedy process. But the only difference is that now the government's decision is that we cannot stop you from jumping. We can't stop you from jumping, but you can jump, but you lose your seat. But then you can offer yourself again. That's what's happening now. But the only exception now, as far as the discussion, is that if you move in a political party, the political party is moving from the coalition block, is allowed. Then your question, you're asking me the question on stabilization. Of course, political party is more stabilized because maybe you have a bigger number. But I think the biggest challenge now would be the debate we watch from independent MPs. Because when the independent MPs come in, they come in offering themselves to the voters as a personality person, offering themselves to represent that constituency. They're not representing maybe any common principle, common policies you're offering. So there may be a debate on two standards between independent MPs and an MP coming from political parties. This is where the government has to make a decision on, and I think that will be an interesting debate to watch. Because for a lot of party members would be comfortable for a coalition bloc, because you know why? Party politics is about power. Of course it's about power. Even though you're saying you're representing the rakyat, that is in your constituency. But in parliament, the formation of the choice of Perdana Menteri or the Ketua Majlis, it is an independent or individual MPs making that decision, not the bloc of the political party. By virtue of being a political party members, we assume that is how the party would move. But the application of the existing procedure and process is that an independent individual MP makes that decision. That is the discretion given to individual MPs. Of course, an independent MPs would be free agent. You can move anywhere you want. Okay, now if you look at the UK system, I've been saying this continuously, the MPs that is in parliament, for example, is able to cross the floor on policies. So your party may not be happy with you, but you cannot be punished because you are given protection to voice your concern about your constituency. But suddenly when you're standing there to talk about gender, your party says to you, look, I'm going to punish you because you're touching on a gender topic. You're not supposed to touch. So legally, it's unconstitutional. You can't stop me from crossing the floor on issues affecting my constituency. And then you punish the MP. That's what I think my learned friend has raised, Hanifah, YB Hanifah has raised, is that you punish the MP. Because a political party can punish an MP much easier. You all know that. And you've seen that happening. So now maybe the exception to the rule is that a coalition move is allowed. Then you are going to have continuously more drama. It will create more, you talk about no stability. Of course it will. But the only safety net, in my view, is that what is your remedy? what is the recall procedure? Then you allow the voters to make a decision again. Because at the end of the day, you're still going to go back to the voters to decide. And you know, the concern that I have, the most obvious concern is that I'm very worried that the voters are not going to come out and vote. Why should they vote? If you jump at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, no one says you can't jump. Who wants to go and vote? So I think this is things that these are really big challenges for us, because in the constituency, we're representing the people. But in the parliament, we're representing the people. At the same time, we're carrying the voices of the party. Of course. That's why you have the party whip. The whip is supposed to whip you on issues. But sometimes some political party members are allowed to cross the floor on issues. My party allows me, you know, I've been talking about gender, decentralization. I started to talk about anti-hopping law. I talk about constitution. I talk about citizenship. Do I get the party whipping me on that? I don't. But there may be some political parties, they're not going to allow the elected representative to talk about those issues. That would be really unfair because you're representing your constituency. So it's a catch-22. That's my personal view. It's not my party view. I'm giving you my personal view as an MP for Kelantan.
And we appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Dato' Sri Azalina Othman Said there, MP for Pengerang, former Deputy Speaker of Dewan Rakyat. That's all we have for you on this episode of Bye. Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.